Today's show is about empowering our child to be responsible about money and learn smart ways to manage it. Do you have a good idea on how to teach your kids about money? Call in to share your thoughts to 510-770-1550. With me in the studio today is Sudhir Kulkarni, who's an advisor to a new website called Guluk.com. For our non-Hindi speaking viewers, listeners, Guluk, spelled G-U-L-U-C-K, is the Hindi word for piggy bank. And Guluk.com tries to give parents a way to teach their kids about money by setting up an online account for them that they can track. Welcome, Sudhir.
Thank you.
Also returning to the show is Neepa Shah, financial consultant. Welcome back to the show, Neepa.
Thank you, Vidya.
So what I want to start off with is both of you are parents also, as well as being financial consultants. And I first want to ask you what strategies you have for teaching your kids about money. Neepa, you want to start off with that?
Sure, Vidya. So I believe that teaching kids at young age money management skills help instill healthy attitude toward money. Kids should know that money is important and useful tool, and they should feel comfortable using money, and you don't want them to be afraid of money. And at the same time, you want them to know that money cannot buy them everything. So when they learn money management skills at young age, it helps create, you know, healthy attitude. It teaches them financial values. It teaches them to be responsible and teaches them philanthropical values. In my daughter's case, when she was in preschool, what we had done is we had bought her a piggy bank that she had in her room, and she would put, you know, coins and whatever change money that she had. And once she learned to count money, you know, she would sometimes she would love to see how money grew in her piggy bank, and someday she would just empty out the whole piggy bank and spend hours counting money, right?
I can totally visualize that.
And this was also, you know, I'm sure most of parents would have experienced this. Nowadays, we don't always use cash money, right?
We have
credit card, ATMs, we write checks. So I also remember my daughter asking me once, "Mom, you have a credit card. Why do you need money?"
Right.
So
that was young to understand the concept of a credit card. And I think that was probably a teaching moment right there.
Exactly. So that time we briefly explained her how a bank is similar, how bank account is similar to piggy bank. Once you, it has money only when you put money, and if you use up all your money, you don't have money. And even if you use credit card, you know, if you don't have money in your account, you can't use it, right? But I think what helped her most is when she learned to count, you know, subtract and add numbers. We created something called journal or a passbook for her.
Like the India style passbook.
Exactly, right? Where every time she added money, she would add that, add the entry. And every time she removed money to buy anything, she would subtract that and she would have a new balance.
I think that's such
So that helped her visualize and see, you know, how money was growing. And any time she took money out, her value was going down. Now she's 9 years old, but when she was 8 years old last year, what we did was we had taken her to bank and we opened, you know, I think most banks, you could go to a bank and open something called savings account. So we are a student savings account. So she opened that account, and just the experience of going to a bank and opening her own account, it totally fascinated her, right?
Right.
And then every month she gets the statements from bank that...
Her
name, right? So that also makes her feel like, you know, like mom and dad, she also has her account. She gets statements, and she sees, though there is not much interest now, you know, she sees how money is there in her bank, and anytime she needs to withdraw money, we take her to bank.
And I'll get back to you on the mechanics of that, but let me also check with Sudhir about how he how he explains money to his daughter.
So it started with my daughter. Her name is Ila, and she's 8 years old. She's in grade 3. It started with her when she started talking about nickels and dimes in grade 1.
Okay.
And in the school, the way they taught about money was to say, hey, here are nickels, here are dimes, here are quarters, and you make up a number. You make up $2.70, and they were asked to make it.
Right.
Now, that was kind of part math, part money.
Right.
But that was her concept of money. And she had the typical Guluk at home, you know, where she would put her money and the stuff that Neepa talked about. But I realized that today's kids, more often than not, they are engaged with some sort of a screen experience, right? They're always either playing on their on their toys, the next electronic gadget. And they need an experience that also ties into what they do on, during their entire day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I realized that having the same Gulak experience online, mm-hmm. where they can see things being done, was very, very engaging for her.
Mm-hmm.
So if she learned to get rewarded for work that she did related to her money, like Nipa was talking about money growing in her Gulak, right? It's not about
right.
just money growing in her piggy bank, mm-hmm. but in the form of how do you bring in concepts of money related to interest? How does money really grow in a bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
These things are very abstract for kids. But if you make it very engaging and fun,
mm-hmm.
right? And there is a whole bunch of things that are available online to be able to do that. But at the same time, we started her engaged on this concept. And this site that you mentioned was one of those that was very, very good to get her really hooked into the concept of money.
Now, that's a very virtual concept, right?
Correct.
It is a very abstract concept, which is seeing your money as opposed to actually counting and feeling and touching the money, which is what the experience your daughter had, Nipa, when she was much younger, which
right.
is feeling the money and putting it in a piggy bank,
right.
and is an abstract concept. So can kids deal with abstract concepts?
They can when you make it in a game form.
Okay.
Everything that you build in a game form, everything that you present to them in a reward fashion, if everything is a fun activity for them, I think they engage very well in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the whole idea, that if you can make it fun to deal with money, because otherwise they go to a store with you, you swipe a credit card, they don't understand what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have no idea where the money went. They have no idea what happened to the
money. I have to tell you a really funny thing.
Yeah.
I think my daughter just assumed that the credit card was like a source of money.
Exactly.
And it took me some explanation to tell her that no, it's backed by something. You know?
Something, right?
Right.
And then even the bank experience that we just talked about, like going and opening a junior bank account, right?
Right.
Or a bank account for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You start seeing when they open that bank account online, and most banks, you know, we transact with banks today online
mm-hmm.
90%
That's
of
true.
The time than
mm-hmm.
going physically in a bank. How
right.
many kids are really taken to a bank branch, right? Very few.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at bank accounts, you're looking at it online.
That's
right?
true.
Again, that
That's
physical
true.
Experience is going away more and more.
Right.
So tie into what is new today, what is the norm today, which is going into an account on the online website,
mm-hmm.
and then you are trying to transact. Now, if you see what the banks are offering to kids, it's exactly the same thing they're offering to grown-ups,
mm-hmm.
which means it's a dull, drab screen with a lot of numbers, which say checking, saving, you know,
right.
FD, whatever it is,
right.
CD, and they have no idea what that is. But if you make it very engaging, if you make mm-hmm. it fun, right, and if you make it like, if you save some money instead of trying to spend that money on mm-hmm. buying that Nintendo Wii that you wanted, can you postpone gratification?
So tell me, are both, I'm going to ask this from both of you, is that are your kids savers or spenders?
They're both.
Okay.
Yeah, in my case, they're both. What she would like to do she would like to save the money. So she sees that in her Gulak.
Mm-hmm.
And then she spends it on things that she wants to do. So she creates like a wish list.
Okay.
Which says, okay, by next birthday, I need to have this toy for myself.
That's really delayed gratification.
Okay, that's delayed gratification. In fact, when we
yes.
were growing up in India, you know, as you would, I mean, I was growing up in India and we didn't have so much money to go around.
That's
right?
true.
That kids here are privileged to have. But we understood the value of money because we had to have postpone gratification because of a shortage of money.
Right.
Here, it's not a question of shortage of money. If they yell enough, we'll probably buy them the stuff that they want right
Tell
away.
Tell me about it.
Correct?
Yes.
So instead of that, if they are taught to sort of engage in a very engaging manner, say that, okay, you want to work towards your money. You want to do these chores, you'll get some money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put this in this bucket. And
mm-hmm.
in this bucket, you can go and check that bucket every single day if you want.
Right.
You can have bragging rights to say, hey, I've collected so much money and now
mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy my Nintendo Wii with my own money on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's a gift from an uncle, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is a different gratification altogether. So they learn about earning.
Mm-hmm.
They learn about saving. They learn about spending in a delayed gratification manner, and they also learn about giving to charity.
That's
so you've
true.
Got to bring all these concepts together, and I think that's where we don't have enough tools today
right.
to be able to do that in a very meaningful way.
And that's what Gulak.com aspires to do, and certainly
right.
listeners do go and check that out. Nipa, what about you? Is your daughter a saver or a spender?
I think overall I would say she's more of a saver than spender, but I think it's mainly because what Sudhir said, that here, you know, kids have almost everything that need. And us having a big family here, she tends to get a lot of gifts.
Right.
So she mostly has all the toys and things that she needs, but she does like to spend a lot of money buying books. So she saves to buy books.
Right, absolutely. And on that note, let's take a quick break. Let's listen to a song. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about spending habits and whether we as parents should be engaged in having that discussion with them about what they can and cannot spend stuff on, or is their money theirs and they should have the freedom. What if the child has money, whether it is through gifts or through earning it or any other way, and then he or she wants to spend it on a toy or a book or something that you don't approve of? And at that point, what is the message you want to give your children? And Sudhir is the advisor to a website called gulak.com, which is an online piggy bank for kids. I suggest you check it out. And Neepa, of course, is a financial consultant. Both of them are parents as well. And I want to ask both of you, has this happened to you, and how would you respond if this did happen to you? Neepa, you want to take that first?
Sure. So I feel that we all should, rather than just telling kids that, you know, as a parent, I don't approve of it, so you don't buy it, I think anytime we don't have agreement with our children, we should give reasons why. So explain them why we think that, you know, even though some other kid has that particular toy, we don't think it's right for you to have it. Talk about, you know, your family values that you have within your family. What are your priorities? And, you know, and also talk about, you know, if budget is an issue, talk about budget and why that might be an issue. And let kids know that because of these reasons, you don't think it's a good idea. But now when kids then still insist on having that toy after you have that discussion, and if they want to use their money, then and if kids, you know, have earned it or it's their gift. So I think at some point, assuming it's not a big deal, we have to let kids also make their mistakes and learn from their mistakes. So we do, as a parent, sometimes it's hard for us to give that freedom to children. But at some point, we do have to let them, you know, learn that lesson. And after buying it, if they, you know, felt that, okay, they could have used this money somewhere else, and that's a lesson that they get to learn in the process.
And that's a great point. But how about also, as a parent, I would think that maybe set the ground rules ahead of time, that if you're going to earn this money, then it can be only spent on ABC. What do you think, Sudhir?
I think that's a great point. So going back to the question first, I would like to break it into two groups of kids, because, you know, from K through 12, you can't just generalize the statement about how to deal with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
I would say let's start about kids that are 13 or older, teenagers.
Teenagers
have to have that sense of responsibility of what they want to spend it on and how they want to spend it. You want to give that independence.
Freedom.
Mm-hmm. Because if you have done good parenting until the age of 13, then you can rest assured that they would make the right choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you should trust their judgment. And like you said, Neepa, let them make the mistakes, right?
Right.
At that stage. But before 12, mm-hmm. I don't think that they have the ability to be able to analyze what is right for me, what is wrong for me.
Correct.
So there, I go with the assumption, with my daughter, for example, I would say, okay, you're a good swimmer. There is somebody else in your class that is a good tennis player.
Right.
You made a choice to do swimming. They made a choice to go play tennis.
Mm-hmm.
You can beat the crap out of them in swimming. They do the same on the tennis court with you.
Right.
You chose and you decided you want to be better at something, right? Now, this is your decision versus their decision. Don't compare. If they have a Nintendo Wii and you don't,
mm-hmm.
or they have a Mac in their room and you don't, and you have a PC, right, and you keep asking about the Mac, right, it doesn't work that way. So you got to set some ground rules in mm-hmm. your own house, like you said,
mm-hmm.
that those ground rules are non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
At least until the point of time when they can make their own decisions and you can trust them to make their own decisions mm-hmm. rightly,
mm-hmm.
I think you can do that. And then, of course, use tools to try to keep it in a motivating manner. Okay, if you wanted to do this, why don't we do this? Why don't you wait until your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if you still want to do the same thing.
Right.
And invariably, you find that during that period of time, their mind changes.
Mm.
Because they are at that stage.
That's a great tip.
Correct.
That to just push the decision.
Just push the decision to a point. Mm-hmm. Point. I mean, we do that all the time, right? They go to a store with you, to a toy store.
Right.
They say they want to buy five things. What do? You say, you can buy one today.
Right.
And the remaining four, make a list. So we have this thing in our house called Santa's list. So okay. that goes and gets entered in a Santa's list that goes all the way. It's like a wish list.
Right.
And now she has facilities online that she can put the wish list on.
Right.
But earlier, she used to just put it on a scrap of paper. She would stick it on her board.
Right.
And that would be Santa's list. And she would keep changing that Santa's list. But we assured her that Santa would get her what she wanted, which was the top item on her list. So that concept of Santa works well until you are 12. But after that, it's
12
blown away.
Is stretching
maybe 12,
it, I have
stretching
to say.
It. Yeah, I know. Maybe 10, I don't know.
But actually, that brings me to a good point, I mean, of financial literacy, which is how do we educate our kids about what are the good decisions, what are the bad decisions. You don't want to be having an argument with them after the fact, which is now they have the money, now they want to make a decision, and then you're having this discussion about, hey, this is really not a smart use of your money.
That's
perhaps
a great point.
Let's talk a little bit about how do we educate kids to become financial literate. So do you think that support is there in schools?
So here's the data that, you know, I've heard the Gulag guys research into, and I'm just going to give it to you in a minute.
Okay.
So in 2002, the federal government, in all its wisdom, decided and thought that there was financial literacy was a key component of life skills, and they decided that there would be an Office of Financial Education in the Treasury Department, and they made a law that all school districts in mm-hmm. all states need to start mandating financial literacy as a part of their curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? 10 years down in 2012, mm-hmm. there are three states: Missouri, Tennessee, and Utah.
So California is not one of them.
Not one of them.
Okay.
Three states that require half a credit worth of financial literacy course in their curriculum from K through 12. Now
okay.
imagine that.
Hmm.
17 states have lumped that curriculum into economics and sociology and other, other mm-hmm. forms of curriculum that they have. And they've lumped some classes there.
Hmm.
35 states have done nothing.
I think that's really scary, because you're thinking about all these kids coming out, especially kids of our community is a fairly affluent community, so
Absolutely.
They're used to good things.
Yeah.
They're used to getting things when they want, and they're going into the world without really understanding how that money came about.
Correct.
And what's required to earn it, and also you have credit cards. I mean,
it's an irony.
A potent combination.
It's an irony that in 2009 April, right, after all this financial mess had hit the fan,
right,
they declared April 2009 as the financial literacy month. Okay. And all schools were supposed to have education related to financial literacy. And that's kind of the time frame that, people started talking about it, and we started thinking and looking at it, and the folks from Gulag started thinking about it as well, and they started
mm-hmm.
Conceptualizing what might be a way. Banks are not the way. They're not really giving the inputs to the kids.
No, it's not in their interest.
It's not in their interest.
Right.
And the schools are not doing it because they're not incented to do anything about
mm-hmm.
financial. But it's such an essential life skill that you cannot leave it to chance.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot leave it to a random teacher in the elementary school that takes nickels and dimes and asks the kids to add them to $2.17.
No, the math part of it is one aspect
yeah.
of it, but you also have the understanding of earning and saving
earning,
and spending.
Absolutely.
That concept that credit card is backed by actual money. Mm-hmm. What does a debt mean?
Mm-hmm.
What is interest on debt? My daughter has just figured out the concept of sales tax, which
right.
she hates. So I think there's a future Republican in the making, probably, because
right.
she's always thinking, oh, the book costs $5. No, it doesn't. It costs $5.50. And she's
right.
like, but I didn't, build it into my money
yeah.
allotment. And that's a piece of
yeah.
financial literacy, that you understand taxes and
there
you understand debt.
There is an interesting concept here. You made a very good point. Think about, there is a site called mytwodollars.com.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I urge you to take a look at it. If you put $20 away every week when your child was born,
mm-hmm.
right, in, today money, and you are a financial mm-hmm. planner, so money doubles in 10 years today at
right.
a money market account, 4.5% interest or 4.5% return. So if you talk about 10 years, they could actually pay for their college education. If
wow.
you start at birth and you start putting it away, right, you would
mm-hmm.
have $35,200 when they are 18 years old.
Right.
Think about it.
Still won't pay for their college education, but
no,
1 year.
Just think about it.
Yeah.
Today's college cost, maybe. Right.
right.
But what I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to say is that this concept does not gel in the minds of the kids unless you actually motivate them.
Right. To be honest,
manner,
I don't
right?
think it gels in the minds of the parents either. I think
either,
as a community, we are a little bit more of a saving community, but
agreed.
Certainly as our next generation sort of gets more absorbed into the American lifestyle, the
yep.
American, and even in India now,
right.
people are comfortable with the whole idea of loans and living,
spending more than you earn.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes,
so
go ahead,
Nipa. Yeah, so there are, like gulag.com, there are many other websites where kids can learn, and even not with real money, even with fake money, right, where they can learn this, some of these concepts. One way to teach kids about how saving is, and as you know, right, if they open a bank account, there is really not much interest. So it doesn't really motivate kids also to save.
Right.
So one way parents could help kids save money is, say, when kids are young, they could do something like, you know, okay, if you put a dollar aside in your piggy bank or on your online account, I will also add a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So that teaches them, you know, that someone else also can match their money, or, you know, if you put a dollar, I'll put a quarter for you, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that money, that somewhat
compounding, some sort of compounding, right?
Mm-hmm. And then the kids who are older, right, teenagers who have a job, you know, some sort of job, say they are babysitting, well, not babysitting, but say they work, they're working at a Starbucks or somewhere, right, where they have a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And during their summer job, they are working at a library or doing whatnot. And if they have a paycheck, I think it, parents might also influence kids to open an IRA account for kids, even though they are young. Because at that young age, right, if they say open an IRA or Roth IRA account and invest that, now it's their own money, right? If you you could do similar experience on, you know, any fantasy finance website and play with fake money, but that really, when it's not your money, you don't really get the
concept. Not, absolutely.
But in, when you open an IRA or Roth IRA account, it helps put that money away for your retirement. It doesn't, and a lot of parents have that concern that, you know, when kids have money on their account, it might affect their financial aid, blah, blah, blah. So here, when they open an IRA retirement account, it doesn't come into financial aid calculation. That's one advantage. But the biggest advantage is it's their own money. And they can invest. They have an option to invest in, you know, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, whatnot. And they can see how, you know, parents can guide them through that process and teach them how, you
before they go off to college and then they're beyond your control,
I
suppose.
Right.
We're talking to Sudhir and Nipa about kids and money. If you have some ideas to share, please do call us, 510-770-1550. And that brings me to, the older kids do have some ways of earning money, but so can younger kids. And there are two ways, I think, broadly that we can say that they can do. Either they get a weekly allowance, which many families do because of this reason. They want their kids to understand money and they want their kids to manage money. And the second thing is doing chores and then being paid for them. I think there are pretty strong arguments that parents will give you for either or. And let me hear your thoughts on that.
So you are right, Vidya. There are two very strong thoughts. One thought is, you know, kids should be paid for their chores. They shouldn't just get allowance. They need to do some chores before they get any money, right? And the reason that behind that is that they need to understand that you have to work hard to earn money. You don't just get money. But then the other side of that is that, you know, some kids are just not motivated by money because, as we just discussed earlier, in our society, most kids have
whatever
things
they
need.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not really motivated by money. So the other side of the argument is that maybe you just give them some allowance, some base allowance to teach them money skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when they do certain chores are required no matter what, but then when they do some optional chores such as mowing lawn or, you know, something else for which you might pay someone else to do, right? For those type of chores, maybe they get additional allowance.
What are your thoughts, Sudhir?
Well, we've been trying, my daughter is only 8, so we've been trying this stuff related to chores and giving her money. I don't think that it really works as a big motivator.
Okay. How else does she earn money?
She doesn't.
She doesn't
have an allowance. I guess we are going back, harking back to how we were raised, right?
And
trying to bring that culture of how we were raised. And we cannot create an artificial shortage for her. Or
And that would have been my next question, and I want to discuss that. But I first want to just go through this allowance versus chores thing, because, again, I have very ambivalent feelings about this, because on one hand, I think if you're part of the family, you're supposed to be helping out, and you don't need money for that.
That's exactly right. And that's, I think, exactly how we have done it. We have not been rewarding her for every little thing that she does. She's expected to clean the table after dinner, and she's used to do it. She doesn't get anything for it.
Right.
It's like mom cooks, She cleans the table.
Right.
It's very simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her mom keeps telling her, you know, dad goes and earns the money. I can run the house, do my part, you do your part.
Right.
I think that is kind of a collaborative environment you want to put in mm-hmm. the kid in, rather than trying to motivate them with money, because too early, the concept of earning money too mm-hmm. early is also very weird, because how much money really do you give for going and watering the plants, right?
Right.
Is it $2? Is it
But then
$10?
How do they get the concept of money if they have no means of earning it? And if you give it as a gift, then it belongs to them anyway.
No, I agree that there's two different schools of thought, like Nipa said, and mm-hmm. this is what we have been doing, that we have not been actually rewarding every single chore, but there is some things that are exceptional.
Right.
Right, like she said, like mm-hmm. these are beyond the kid's normal routine,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There you expect them to be motivated.
Right.
And you say, okay, if you decide that you instead of having a party for your birthday at so and so place, if you decide to donate to charity, there mm-hmm. is a Shankara Eye Foundation, and somebody can get their eye back and they mm-hmm. don't go blind, and you want to donate $200, I will put $100, and here's $100, and you can start building towards the $200 for your birthday. Those kind of things, I think you can start doing.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, will teach them negotiation skills, if nothing
more
else.
More motivation. Yeah, I mean, chores. I guess it's an ambivalent. I'm also ambivalent on
yeah,
this.
What about allowance?
Well, allowance is a stage at which you expect them to actually spend. So, for example, in school, she buys lunch once a week.
Okay.
The rest of the week, she is taking lunch from home.
Mm-hmm.
So, once a week that she buys lunch, that day is the pizza day at school, so she buys lunch there. And
right.
that money is put online into the school's kitty. So,
right.
she doesn't really have to handle money, really speaking.
Right.
What
right.
does she have to spend money on as a third grader?
Right.
That's
yeah.
true. And I guess
as they go older, then they
right.
want to download songs or buy this.
Yeah, therefore, I think the whole concept of, you know, learning through games,
mm-hmm.
learning through playing games, learning through earning badges, learning through getting rewards, which are not tangible rewards, but intangible rewards. That's
right.
the only way, I think, for that level of kid, you can teach them about money.
And I want to ask both of you about how old you think a kid should be. Sort of it brings it forward from this question
yeah.
before they can actually, they should be having money actually in their hands and doing things with it. But we'll take a quick break, and after the break, we'll come back to answer some of these very interesting questions. As a parent, even I'm very eager to know what other people and other parents are thinking and doing about this. You're listening to Parent Talk with Vidya, and my guests are Sudhir and Nipa, who are both in the finance world and also talking about their own experiences as parents. How old should our kids be before they can understand the concept of money? How old should they be before they handle money for themselves? Do you have some thoughts on that? Nipa, do you want to take that question first?
Well, the concept of money can be taught to kids as early as preschool, right? I feel that, you know, they earn money, either it's through gifts or allowance or, you know, by doing some sort of job. But that money should be divided into spending, savings, and into giving three different buckets, right?
Mm-hmm. And can you actually teach a two-year-old to give?
Well,
try doing that.
2-year-old, it's tough, but at preschool age, right? 4 or 5 years, I think we can start teaching them at that age.
It's a good challenge, I think, to teach the kids that young. But it's a really important concept, and I want to discuss that. But yes, they do come into contact with money at an early age. They're learning it in school in the form of just the currency,
right?
And in terms of addition and subtraction, but you know, there'll be times when they actually handle money. You know, how old should they be when they can actually handle their own money?
Yeah, so like taking money to shop and that
right.
sort, right? So I think I've seen kids as young as 8, 9 years old. They take money from their either savings or, you know, piggy bank. And when they go on trips, they carry some money with them to
mm-hmm.
buy things that they want from either a gift shop or
right.
buy lunch with their money and so on. So I think as early in elementary age, third graders, and so onwards
should be comfortable
right,
to carry
right,
their own money.
Right.
And there are some elements associated with the safety of the money and the safety of the child. And so do you want to also just piggyback off that question and
sure.
share your thoughts?
I, I think I on the question of when you can start teaching them about money, I think around second grade is when I think they are appropriately right, because they have actually understood that money buys things. Because until first grade, or even, you know, before in preschool, I kind of disagree that they really don't understand that what does money do for them, right? It's a plaything. It's all, they are in that play mode.
Right.
And if you can take off from that play mode and make it more and more of the further the play angle to it, then they become much more savvy at handling that money. Mm-hmm. Because everybody gives a piggy bank to their kid, right? Pretty much everybody. And they say, okay, here are a few coins. You know, whatever change you have in your pocket at the end of the day, you give it to the kid.
Right.
The kid puts it in a piggy bank, and then suddenly the piggy bank becomes heavy. But at that point, when they're in preschool or in first grade even, piggy bank is a plaything.
It's a toy.
It's a toy. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's structured that way. That's why it's built that way.
I know.
You see, it's like bright
cute
colors.
And animals.
Animals and
yes.
so on. So mm-hmm. if the more you make that, the more you make it engaging to them, the more they get to play with money.
Right.
Otherwise, they're not playing with money at all. If
Correct.
That toy is not engaging, how many toys do you buy and they get thrown away in one day?
Right.
So this you want them to keep doing some things with. So I think that is one concept. The second is that once you have given them something, I think encouraging them to actually go out, take money out. If suppose there is a responsibility that you put on their shoulder saying, I want you to do X, but if you want to do Y, you pay yourself.
Uh-huh.
And they actually physically take out the money from their piggy bank and then they go spend it. Then they realize that, oh, my daughter today tells us that, oh no, I don't want to spend this, so maybe I'll not buy this.
Mm-hmm.
So that decision making and that postponement happens, because if you tell them, I want you to buy something for $15.
Right.
Now, there's something else that you want to buy. It's $25. You got to take $10 from your piggy bank to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'll say, okay, I'll buy the one that's $15.
Mm-hmm.
So they automatically learn that.
We have a caller. Let's quickly take a... Welcome to Parent Talk.
Yeah, hi Vidya, this is Vinita from Fremont.
Hi Vinita, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I just want to wish Sudhirji, I know him, so he's giving good information regarding money and finance.
Hi Vinita.
Hi Sudhir Ankar. Hi Rajida, we call him Rajida actually.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he's giving good information. Thank you for giving us such a...
You're welcome, and happy to hear that people are listening
to
the show.
Yeah, but it is hard. What he's saying, that is also true. Like yesterday, I took my son, he's 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We had a movie night in the school, in the first grade.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm teaching him, we all Indian parents try to teach our kid how to earn the money yourself. But they think that piggy bank, they got it, that the money they've earned.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Movie night, he took out piggy bank, he took the money, and he told, I'm going to buy my popcorn and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, yeah, that you have collected, but earning is like getting job and do it some work and get it. That was very hard yesterday for me to teach him that. Money you earned, you didn't earn, you have collected, we have given you. Earning is go to earn some places then. I tell you, no, Papa is going to earn.
And that is a genuine problem I think we have. And Vinita, you bring up a really excellent point, which is the piggy bank, if the child is not earning the money himself, is going to be a difficult concept to explain to the child that, yes, you put the money in the piggy bank, but the money is not yours. So, you know, it's a tough concept to certainly explain.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you people are doing a great job, and all the best to Rajida and you people.
Thank you so much, Vinita. Appreciate the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So, you know, that's a good point. And maybe we should, let's take a minute to say, okay, how do we encourage our kids to get that sense that what is earned money, what is given money, and whether there is a difference in the two? And that really requires a great deal of insight on the part of the child, which I'm not sure that very young kids are capable of having that kind of insight. What do you think, Sudhir?
I agree with you. I mean, the point is very valid. At some point in life, they learn what earning really means.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that until they are a teenager, that point comes. So until they are a teenager, like we were saying, that break the K through 12 into two buckets.
Mm.
And the bucket that you can deal with money responsibly, that can actually take their own money and be responsible for it, and the ones that cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're the parents. And there's a reason for why, you know, banking and all the regulatory industry, etc., do not let kids' money be dealt by kids.
Right. Mm.
They have parents involved, and there is a reason for that.
Right.
Because they're not mature enough to be able to understand that. But we can start building financial literacy in them by bringing this whole thing through a formal curriculum in school, through a formal way of training the kids at home,
mm-hmm.
through all these websites, through things that are available online for us,
mm-hmm.
in a very engaging manner. I think the key is that if you make it fun, if you make it like a game, if you make it, if they can put a board, a chart on their wall that has their swim medals and all the stuff that they earn, right, for activities that they do.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, for activities that they do related to money, if they can put those as well,
mm-hmm.
and they get badges for it. Whether they are artificial badges or real badges, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
That is exactly what, you know, people like Gulak have been doing. And that's what I think.
That's to incentivize the kids towards good habits.
Right. And incentivize in a way in which they understand. They understand badges. They don't understand, you know, rewards, interest rate. I don't understand interest.
Right.
But what I
do
understand is, oh, I got this glittering badge that tells me that I earned this money or I donated to this charity.
Right.
And I've got this badge from this, you know, place. Right. It's exactly like that.
And I want to, you know, we have just a couple of minutes left, and I really want to talk about giving. And I think for very young kids who are very much mind oriented, it's such a hard concept to grasp that some money is always given. And I guess the best way to do it is to be role models and talk about it. So how do we develop that sense of some part of your money should be given away? I think it's a lot easier for people who are Christian, because in the church you have a very clear tithing process that you actually, you see your parents every Sunday, they are giving money. And I think that's a very, you know, very compassionate way and something to show. Maybe in our culture, we really don't have that, that concept of X amount of my earnings are going to be given away.
Right.
So how do you create that sense? Nipa, do you want to have a thought?
Sure.
To share?
So it's somewhat similar to what Sudhir was saying earlier, right? One way to do it is when they have birthdays. And during birthdays, they get a lot of gifts. So one way to do it is you just tell kids that, okay, you got this 10 gifts today. Maybe one of that gift, you can give it to some less fortunate children who don't have any toys.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe one of your used toys that you are not using anymore, maybe you can decide to give that.
Yeah. So just one last point here. It's like food. If you waste food in your plate,
mm-hmm.
how do you inculcate the habit of not wasting food?
Ethiopian kids starving.
Ethiopian kids and Somalian kids starving,
right?
It's the same concept. If you visually tell
them
what charity is, I think that's what matters. You need to visually give them cues.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they're a little older, you can
take them to visit charities as well.
Have them volunteer their time there as well.
And not make it abstract, but actually show the effect of the money.
Exactly.
I think that would be great. I think we have a lot to talk about, but we're coming to the end of the hour. So to listen to this show's recording and past shows, go to indiacc.org/parenttalk. And if you have an idea to share, do write to me at radio@indiacc.org. Thank you to Sudhir Kulkarni and Nipa Shah for being with us today and sharing their insights. The show's producer is Saad Jafri, and the theme tune was composed by Naren Pradhan. Tune in same time, same place next week for another live show on parenting. Till then, bye-bye.